From Wondery and Audible comes Class of 88, a new podcast hosted by Will Smith. Before 1988, a lot of people didn't take hip-hop seriously. But hip-hop today touches everything, from film to fashion to sports. So what changed? Follow Class of 88 wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and with me is the beautiful and cheerful Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Well, hello. How are you, Ben?
I am fabulous. This is such a big, exciting week for us. Tickets went on sale for our very first shows in Europe, London, Dublin, and Birmingham. We are performing there late May. Tickets are on sale to the public Friday, February 23rd. I don't know when you're listening to this. Chances are they may already be on sale. Go to watchcrappens.com to get those tickets. And also, we are in the Netflix is a Joke Comedy Festival. And we shall be performing at the Kookaburra Lounge on, I believe, May 3rd. That is in the Ovation Complex at Hollywood and Highland. And our dear friend Katie Cazorla, that is her club. But we're going to have a wonderful, super fun time. It's going to be a rad night. So tickets for that are also on our website. And don't forget, you can also watch us on video via Crap is on Demand by going to our Patreon. And our Patreon bonus episode this week was a recap of the season finale of Southern Hospitality, which was a hilarious finale. So we love that show. We're stretched right now. So we put it on the bonus episode because we wanted to make sure we have bonus content every week. And go check that out. Patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. And now, without any further ado, it is time to discuss what, in my opinion, was the superior season finale of Wednesday night, Real Housewives of Miami. What'd you think, Ronnie?
Wow. 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 Wow.
It was great. Love Miami.
Love it. So good.
What a colorful, cartoony show. Spoiler alert, there's a big old man boner in this episode. I mean, are they just allowed to do anything on TV? Keep your old man boners at home. I don't need that shit on my TV. It was disturbing. I saw my future in front of me.
I mean, this show. Nicole's father, may he rest in peace. The very last image we get of Nicole's father.
A dead old man's like, boner. A ghost of a boner we saw.
This is how Miami sends out this man. Your final scene on this show. Your final scene on Earth.
On this Earth.
Is your boner.
Boner.
I mean, they show were like, him
may he rest
Nicole.
In peace. He had a baby arm. God bless him.
And you know what? That's probably exactly how he would have liked to have gone out. So, I mean, this show really has it all. It has drama. It has tears. It has boners. There's something for everyone on Miami. I tried
His
something.
Ghost was up there in heaven like, I still got it. Still got it.
Yep. Yeah. So anyway, big finale. It was so great. Such a great show. Such a great season. And also, I think this is the very first time in the history of the franchise since 2007 or 8 when the show began, when the first Real Housewives aired, that Friendubs actually got a final update. Normally, that's reserved for the full-time cast members only, but Adriana, Marisol, and Kiki all got updates on what happened with their lives after filming ended. That's how good this show is.
Yeah, and it was a very long time. I mean, this show, they started credits about 20 minutes before the end because they did. There were a lot of people to get through.
This is a stacked cast. This might be one of the best casts on reality television. So
we know it's going to be a glorious episode because we open with one of our favorite things from the season, Larsa and Marcus with the podcast. So it's being set up exactly how you would think. I'm so sorry. I'm so distracted by the story going out on outside my window. I have the hottest task rabbit. He's so big and meaty, just beefy.
I want to see a picture of him. Just is he muscular or is he husky?
I mean, he's husky. Rawr. Rawr. I mean, in Texas, it's probably where I'm from, it's considered muscular, but I don't think there's a muscle on him. But there is definitely some ham. There's ham some hocks. Ham. And he's lifting things, you know. He's fixing a fence by himself, lifting big panels and mixing cement down there. And
sexy.
I just can't stop watching it. I just think it's so fascinating. I mean, not only is he handsome and big and meaty, but it's just watching men do manly things that I don't do, like fix a fence. You know, he was describing to me how to fix a fence. He's like, here's what I got to do. I got to put a post. This post wasn't long enough. The post needs to be about this long. And it was only about this long. So I'm going to dig a hole for that post. I'm going to make a long post. And I've got to get some cement down there. And I was just watching him like, this is like the hottest our planet I've ever seen. Like, I don't know what he's talking about, but it seems like nature. And it's fascinating.
I'm so happy for you. That's so exciting to have a hot handyman. I actually,
I did it that way on purpose because, you know, on TaskRabbit, you can see pictures. So
yeah.
I picked. It was like The Bachelor.
I have a door in my house that like warped and then it like wasn't opening. And so it was sort of the bottom of it needed to be shaved or it needed to be realigned or whatever. So I asked my friend for a handyman recommendation and she goes, I have this guy. He's absolutely wonderful. He's really great. His name is Alfredo. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm turning it to Heather Dubrow. I literally hired someone named Alfredo. And I was like, please tell me his name really is Alfredo. Because otherwise I am really Heather Dubrow right now.
That's funny. Okay, so this starts with them setting up just how you think it would, mm-hmm. with Marcus doing all the work and Larsa just standing around. She's like, need any help, like I feel like you might like need some like I feel like help, like.
No, I'm okay, babe. I'm okay. Yeah. Hey, how was playing?
I gotta be honest.
Yeah. About what, babe?
Gotta be honest. Like, I feel like I was being like interrogated by Kiki about your dad, and like, I don't want to like talk about your dad. Like, I want to talk to you about your dad and like your relationship with your dad. I just want to see you know your dad's name a lot, but like, not actually have to deal with the ramifications cushions of dating you. Like,
maybe at some point he'll clarify what he meant by, but I wouldn't bet on that.
Yeah.
Like 100%, I understand why Larsa would have been upset by what my dad said, you know? And she's like, yeah, I was like, what the hell, like? And he's like, but I think Larsa was like a little mortified, like, whoa, I'm starting to do it, like.
Yeah, because like, I feel like this is like something you guys should like talk about, like, you know?
And he's like, well, my dad was in Paris, and then he was asked if he approves, and then at first he just like laughed, but then they asked again, and then that's when he let out an emphatic no. He fatted? Yeah. Did it smell? Did they talk about it smelling? Why didn't anybody say that he fatted? That's so gross, like.
Yeah, but like my dad texted like ahead of time to make sure that like we didn't take it the wrong way. He said specifically, when I said no, I'm not in favor of the relationship. I don't approve of the relationship. I just want to make sure, son, that you know that I really am not in favor of it. Just want to make sure you don't take it out of context. There was no joking. I really can't stand her.
Yeah, like that's crazy because like you thought it was funny, but like everyone online said that I was like lying about it, like everybody being okay.
And he's like, well, if there was truly any red flags, I would have heard. So then the producer is like, okay, well, have you hung out with Michael Jordan since you guys have been together? And he's like, oh, well, I mean, he just wants me to be happy, which is why he won't meet Larsa face to face.
But I mean, he hasn't met any of the women I've dated. I mean, look, there was Phil Jackson's wife. I dated her. There was Horace Grant's wife. I dated her. Dennis Rodman's wife at one point. I dated her. Yeah, just never dated
him. Just want his attention, but he won't give it to me.
So Larsa's like, I mean, like your dad is like really busy, like, so it's like not like a priority, like. Yeah, I feel like my dad's gonna be like okay with whoever I end up with. It's my mom's the one you gotta make sure she likes the person I'm dating with. And she fucking loves Larsa. She loves Larsa. And you know, like Marcus's mom's at home just like gritting her teeth. She's great. As long as my son's happy, I'm happy. Totally happy with Larsa.
She's like, everything's gonna be fine as long as you get the prenup.
As long as you got the prenup.
Yeah. Mom's like, yeah, I mean, do I have fond memories of getting drinks with Larsa in 1993 when you were 8 years old? I do. I do. When double dates with Larsa back then, but thought she was my friend, not my future daughter-in-law.
Knew her the first 6 times she was pregnant. So that was fun. Lars is like, I just don't want it to be a problem, because I feel parents, that's not a vibe.
Yeah, that's not a vibe. My parents want to see me happy, and I feel like I've never been this happy with anyone,
And so then we go over to Nicole hanging out in her condo with Gertie. And Gertie does it again where she walks into someone's house and she goes, "Hello, Clarice."
Yes.
Did Gertie just see Silence of the Lambs? Why is she walking into places saying, "Hello, Clarice"?
Yeah, it's a scary it's reference. It's
so weird.
It's a weird way to enter.
Hello, Clarice.
Because I was just in my closet. I was trying to figure out what to wear to this Havana night themed night. And Gertie's like, "Oh, I just gained 10 pounds just lying in bed for 7 days, 7 full days in bed. I gertified my bed." So she says that Gertie's saying that the trip to Mexico was supposed to be her final hurrah before chemo, but it wound up being a nightmare on Elm Street. I was like, okay, so you're just really into terrifying movies.
We know what Gertie did this whole time in bed. She watched terrifying fucking movies. I know. So Nicole's like, "Oh, it's been 4 months since I took out my IUD. And so the hormones now are back to where they're supposed to be, because now I don't have, so maybe I'm going to get pregnant. So you better watch out, because Rosemary's Baby, you saw that one, right? Things don't work out great.
The power of Christ compels you to have a baby." So anyway, Gertie was saying how that Adriana's party, her Havana Nights party, is going to be her last. It's her last big hurrah, her last big date night, because chemo starts the very next day. And once she's done chemo, she really can't see anyone because it's too dangerous. So she's going to be doing chemo one session every 3 weeks for 4 sessions. So it's going to be a 3-month journey for her.
And because it's Miami, we go from chemo talk to straight into, "Oh my God, chemo, it's going to be something. By the way, have you seen Larsa? Did you see the message in the group chat? Larsa said I bit her." I'm like, what?
And then we see a flashback on the gondola of drama, where Gertie's drunk and also has altitude sickness, on early onset altitude sickness, and she's having a fun time with Lars. So she goes, and she kind of does the little bitey thing, whatever, and Lars and Nicole's like, "But I thought you guys were also fine in Mexico. It's probably something so stupid that you guys were hugging and you were oh, we're getting along," and then you're going, she's like, "Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was just it was when Hannibal Lecter just ate that guard's face off of. It's just something gentle and fun and pleasant.
You know what? Look, did I want fava beans with it? Sure, of course. But, still for fun." And she's
quid pro quo afterwards, perhaps?
But you know what? She had to make it sensational. And, why does she have to be a clickbait whore? Why is she a whore about clickbaiting?
And we do see a headline that says, "Larsa Pippen reveals a Real House as a Miami co-star bit her," which does make it sound like there was a vicious fight.
Yeah.
Which is annoying for Gertie, probably.
She's like, "Oh my God, in Mexico, we were crying and holding on to each other. And I said, we're going to be great friends." And then she does this. Mind blown. Like that movie where all the people's heads started exploding on the news.
You know what? I mean, and do you understand how difficult it would be to have your mind blown if you have 45 pins stuck in your head? I'm pinhead. So Gertie,
she's a real hellraiser, that one.
I'm running out of horror movies because I don't like to watch them.
I was talking about Scanners. Scanners was the movie I was talking about. Scanners. In case anybody wants to watch it, in case anybody's having a rough time and you want to watch a movie about heads blowing up, Scanners, 1992.
And I only thought about Pinhead because I thought about heads, and that was the only horror movie I could think of very quickly that had to do with heads.
And it was actually 1981. I was in the wrong decade and the wrong year. Okay, whatever. let's just move on. This is dying. This is dying fast. It's dying on the table like they did in
Stay away from rain gutters. There are no clowns down there. It's a lie. So Gertie is I'm like, "Don't you have other things to think about? Michael Jordan doesn't like you, okay, baby?"
Look, how funny was that? "Don't you have better things to worry about? Michael Jordan doesn't like you. Worry about that. Worry about that, baby."
So, just a summary.
for people who are like maybe weren't cooking pasta, if you're coming back and listening to us. So Real Housewives of Miami, we have someone who's about to undergo chemo, but she's in the middle of a tabloid frenzy about being accused of biting someone else. And that other person is in their own tabloid frenzy where Michael Jordan hates them. So that's where we're at with the show so far.
Yep, pretty fun times. No complaints so far. No notes so far. What's next, Ben?
I'll tell you what's next. What's next was me pulling out my hair because we're taking notes on this show and I'm watching off of YouTube TV. And one thing is that when I take notes, I feel like I'm often having to hit the 5 second rewind, but it's really like a 15 second or 10 second rewind. And I was like, you know what? I spent so much time going back and having to like rewatch over and over again. I feel like it's actually adding on to how long it takes me to write notes. So let me try something different. Why don't I watch this show at 3/4 speed? Because you can do that on YouTube TV. And that way it'll be a little slower and I can type it and I won't get behind. And it will actually save me time by going actually a little slower. So I decided to watch this episode at 3/4 speed, which was fine until we got to this scene when I had to listen to Peter talk to his mother. And if you thought Peter talking at normal speed was tough, try listening to Peter talk at 3/4 speed. And I'm not even trying to be like funny. I'm literally like, you sit there and watching Peter say things like, yeah, might as well be useful and help you out, mom. I'm like, that's him at normal speed. And of hearing him at 3/4 speed, if you ever want to understand what torture is like, do that to yourself. Like, this is how you get information out of criminals. You play scenes with Peter at 3/4 speed and they will sing like canaries.
That's funny. Yeah, Peter. Wow. So wow. Peter, I can tell you one thing that has not changed about Peter: energy levels. Okay.
No. Oh, no, no.
So Alexi- like, for someone not cooking, you sure have a lot of boxes in your kitchen.
Yes, because Alexia, they moved into the new apartment and she doesn't like clutter. So she left all her boxes in the hallway, which I'm sure her neighbors loved. And now she's brought in Peter to come bring the boxes inside and unpack them.
Yes. So they're unpacking and getting ready to move and stuff and or moving, whatever. She's like, it's official. We moved in. If we had more time, we would have packed something. We would have picked something else. But we had to take this because there's no other options. So I'm sorry I look poor right now. OK, in this apartment all the way up here, wall, floor to ceiling, you know, windows of the beach, looking at the beach. But you know what? This is poor people living on sand. It's disgusting. But, you know, not sorry, I'm sure.
Yeah. If you look here, you can actually see a mark on our window of our luxury high rise where you can see that Lisa threw a piece of chicken at us because she thought we had a dog. We're that poor.
So I can guarantee it's better than she's been eating, honey. So Alexia's like, Frankie, go to your room. He's like, no. It's like, go, Frankie, take your iPad. He's like, He's like, what are you trying to trick me into? It's like, I've got to talk about you with Peter. So he leaves. And she's like, okay, Frankie, listen, I'm not going to be here forever. Okay. Sometimes even gorgeousness has to rest. Yeah. And I need to know that Frankie's not going to be alone. And who better to take care of Frankie than the most responsible person I've ever known in my life? You.
I've already thought about that. Yeah, well, you know what? I don't want to overwhelm you with like so much information, but it's like all the stuff I've been thinking about and like Gertie with like what she's going through, you know? And she says that Peter is such a good brother and he never gets credit because people always focus on the other things that haven't gone as well, like punching his girlfriend.
Yeah, or like punching the homeless guy on video camera and we're like just punching things to be hilarious. General.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then but it's great because then we get a picture, then we get a flashback of the Todd fight.
You know, your oldest son who uses too much marijuana drugged him many times. Do you know he's disabled?
Oh, yeah, say it one more time. I'm going to beat you up.
Do it. I'll fight you right back.
Sheesh. And she goes, yeah. You know, like, I was thinking, because, like, I can't leave him with your father, you know, because of his situation. I was like, the sexual assault of a minor. God, you guys are just racking them up over there, huh? Maybe we should not have these pity Alexia scenes right now.
So basically Peter's like, yeah, you know, Frankie makes me happy. And if he wasn't in my life in the future, ... Oh, well, you know, the only way our life is complete and happy is with Frankie next to us. And, like, we all have that. So, like, whatever woman you marry, you know, like, she can't be prettier than me. And she also has to like Frankie.
Okay, she has to be willing to take care of Frankie. She has to love Frankie, too, just like she loves you. And also, she has to not speak in my presence. Okay? very small request I'm making. So he goes, yeah, like, I just, like, don't even feel like it's something normal. Like, it's not even something, like, an obligation. He gets money every month from somebody, right?
If it wasn't me, who would my son be the best around? You're the perfect person. I know how much you love your brother. I got you. I'll be here.
She's like, oh my God, thank God, oh, thank God, oh my God, thank God. Okay, now let's go make Frankie, sure Frankie isn't a leading email from the Demoya Foundation. Because apparently Frankie just deletes all the emails that the Demoya Foundation sends him.
What was that noise, Mom? Oh, that's just Lisa throwing chicken at us saying, oh God, that's so hard. So hard being in this tiny little hovel.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Academy is a new scripted podcast that follows Ava Richards, played by HBO's Industries' Myhala Harold, a brilliant scholarship student who has to quickly adapt to her newfound eat or be eaten world. Ava's ambitions take hold and her small town values break in hopes of becoming the first scholarship student to make the list. Bishop Gray's all-coveted academic top 10, curated by the headmaster himself. But after realizing she has no chance at the list on her own, she reluctantly accepts an invitation to a secret underground society that pulls the strings on campus life and academic success. If she bends to their will, she'll have everything she's ever dreamed of. But at what cost? Academy takes you into the world of a cutthroat private school where power, money, and sex collide in a game of life and death. Follow Academy on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Academy early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
From Wondery, this is Black History For Real. I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm Conscious Lee.
What do most people think about when they hear the words Black History?
Rosa Parks, Reconstruction, MLK, February, Black History Month.
Exactly, exactly. There are so many stories of Black history that we just are not really talking about or thinking about, especially outside of February. And we are about to flip the script on all of that. Because on this show, you're going to hear a little less
in August 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
And a little bit more.
She is a heroine to some. As a fighter for Black rights, she is a villain to others.
Follow Black History For Real on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen everywhere on February 5th, or you can listen early and ad-free on Wondery Plus starting January 29th. Join Wondery Plus on the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Black is beautiful.
So speaking of, Lisa is in the mansion, and she's pouring wine for her mom, Jean, and another lady who turns out to be her Aunt Del.
Aunt Del.
Aunt Del.
This was great. I was like, this is all I've wanted from Lisa, is to see the homely ladies she comes from. Like, this is perfect. Her mom, Jean and Del, they have the same haircut. They basically come in as twins. And, you know, apparently there's another aunt, Aunt Beulah, which I love it. I love that there's Del, Beulah, and Jean. And then you know that Beulah has the same haircut, too. So Lisa's like, welcome home. We're here. Hi, Mom. Oh, God, it's hard not having family here. And Jean's like, oh, I know that, baby. And so she says that she flew down her mom and her aunt to take care of the kids while she goes on a much-needed vacation, as opposed to the, I guess, lesser needed vacation she just went on.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, oh, I just don't get to do anything. Sorry, guys. I just got back from vacation. God, I need a vacation.
She's definitely one of those people that says, I need a vacation from the vacation. Also, by the way, another person who says that, me. So Aunt Del is like, oh, God, so many times I watch and I said, oh, I wish I was there for you. And then Jean's like, oh, yeah, I miss you so much, Lisa.
Oh, I miss you too. I wish you were here all the time, but it's been a really hard year. God, you should have seen all those dogs eating dog food from the gondola. It was terrible.
It's so painful. All these starving dogs.
So we hear a little bit. Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm going to say what you said, so it's the same thing. So you go.
Oh, we just hear about how her mom grew up. And she grew up in Jamaica with her family, very poor. And she was very uncomfortable around Lenny because Lenny had a terrible attitude.
Yeah, by the way.
You said that, didn't you?
I didn't say that yet. But what I was surprised at, big twist. Lisa is like has Jamaican roots. was not expecting that whatsoever.
You know, when I was watching it, I was like, did we know that? Because at first I was like, where are these accents from? Because these accents are gold. And where are these people on our televisions? Why have we not seen them a million times? Like, they need to be lead characters. Aunt Del and Mommy. What's her mom's name?
Jean.
Susan or something?
Jean, who I believe is our version of Siri, if you remember correctly.
Yes. And that's true. And how did Lisa lead with like, I'm an immigrant from Canada. When she has Jamaican roots.
She has Jamaican cred. Surprised that they probably are never going to do a housewife vacation to Jamaica. Cause you know, she's going to be like, well, I'm Jamaican. And she's going to say something problematic, you know? But,
Yeah.
She will definitely be like, I'm Jamaican. I'm allowed to say it. So,
they're like, nope.
No, you can't. I don't know what it's going to be, but that will be her response to whatever it is she says. But anyway, her mom and her aunt sort of have funky accents that are like part like Canadian accent, but I guess part Jamaican a little bit. And it's amazing.
They're pretty amazing. And they talk about what a boor Lenny is. A boor, I guess, or a boor. He is.
Both.
And just what a jerk he is. And, you know, it's like, congrats on marrying a rich guy. You never marry a fucking man who's a shithead to your mother. Who does
that? Exactly. Wow. And the stories they say, they're both are like, wow, he was a real jerk. One of them says that, like, Lenny, it was Jean says that I would be talking to him and he would just walk away. She goes, so you know what? I texted him. I said, I'm going to let him know how I feel. So that's what I did. And what did he say? He never replied, actually. But it was good. It was good at that time.
Yeah. I sure told him, though. It came back green, so I'm not really sure what happened there. And Lisa's like, well, I remember at our wedding, I remember Marina said to address her as Mrs. Hochstein and Anatoly as Professor Hochstein. And if you didn't have a certain level of wealth, they looked down on you. Why did you marry this person? My God. And how did your mother let you marry this person? What was going on over there?
But also, reverse, why did Lenny marry Lisa? In the sense that, like, if you already are going to be such shit to people who you believe are below you, like you got, like, don't marry someone that you're not going to respect. And
he wouldn't marry anybody that he respected. He doesn't respect anybody. He's only respecting somebody because he can look down on them and treat them like shit. I can see why he would marry her. She's a doormat.
Yeah, I guess and when I say, why would you marry Lisa? This is not to be like, Lisa's a piece of shit. Why would you do that? You deserve better. It's more like... like, so you're going to marry someone, but then you're going to still, like, condescend to their entire family, whatever. Like, what a piece of shit you are.
Yeah. But truly.
But either way, that was wild hearing
truly,
that the...
what
the
a gross fucking guy.
And family. His Marina and Anatoly. So, Jean's like, yeah, he never sits still to listen to me. And Lisa's like, yeah, he doesn't care. If you didn't have a certain level of wealth, they look down on you. So Del's like, she's basically like, you know what? You're a tough cookie and I admire you for that. Come on, it's not cheat day yet. Don't say that to me.
So then we go to Adriana and Julia at the farm. And Julia's getting this like new little farm place together. And they're like, oh my God, we could come stay here. This would be so fun. And she's like,
now that Martina is all covered and well, I'm in the groove of farming. My goal is to make home fast as I can. I can lure Martina into half and half. We could wake up with goats.
Martina's like, not a chance. So Adriana comes over and she tries this jam, you know, because they introduced a jam storyline last week. So it started last week and it's ending here. It's the guava and like raspberry jam or something. And Julia's like,
yes, you like? Maybe you sell them for $30.
Adriana's like, what? $30 for jam? It's like not 30, caviar, darling. It's
like jam should be $5, okay?
But it is from tree to table.
Yeah, so are branches. I'm not selling those for $30.
Yeah.
That right there is the artisanal experience for everyone. People who are like, oh, I love people. I love goats. I love family. $300 for the little thing of jam. There it is right there. Oh, they love the world. Just going to price gouge you just a little bit.
Yeah, so they talk about this party that's going to be the Havana Night finale party. And it needs to be classy because it's where Adriana's going to sing her new classy song by Emilio. And Julie's like, oh, so no dildos? Oh, ha, ha.
These ladies have been known to go wild on many different occasions, so Emilio might get turned off by the whole endeavor because my association with them.
Okay, yes. Okay, oh no. Like Annie Lennox say, here come the rain again, just when I was about to show you my pig. But guess what my surprise is? Pig is goat.
Pig. Yeah, pig is goat. Goat riding pig.
Pig riding goat, but goat riding pig.
And she's like, oh, I promised Martina I will try to find money to pay for hay. And here I am. I sold 3 goats and got the pig. Wow.
Would you like some jam for $63?
A pig named Houdini. Yeah, she's going to be making pig jam soon. Martina's going to be making pig jam.
It's like, ah, oh, Houdini, this is my friend Adriana.
And the pig's kind of shy. And I did have this pig. My pig looked just like, I mean, he was little still because he was a little baby. But I had a black pig like that, Spanky.
So Spanky.
They're lucky that that Houdini didn't do what Spanky did to me. Because Spanky would sit on my lap. And then when I was like, okay, Spanky, I have to go to the bathroom. I would get up, and Spanky would be so pissed off that I got up. He was very controlling. And he, when I came out of the bathroom, he was standing at the edge of the living room staring at me with his head down, and they went, I started screaming and then ran towards me and started headbutting my leg. And I was like, Spanky, stop, Spanky. And he was like chasing me around, butting me in the leg. And then I jumped up on the couch, you know, like on the edge of the couch. I was sitting up on the edge of it, and then he jumped up on the couch and jumped into my lap and curled up and was like, and so I guess he was just bossing me around to sit back down so he could cuddle back in my lap. Yeah. Pigs are very, very bossy, and that pig got very big. Houdini's already big, so good luck if you don't let that fucking pig sit in your lap, okay? You're gonna break your legs.
I don't like comparing women to animals, but that story did sort of feel like some seasons of Real Housewives of New Jersey. So Julia,
the end is like,
I just wanted to cuddle.
Yeah, he's banging that fence. Bang it. You're doing great.
What happened to Spanky, by the way?
My landlord saw him because Lucy, the landlord, lived right above me, and she passed by the door and saw Spanky, and she said, is that a pig? And I said, yeah. And she said, you gotta have a pig here. So I had to rehome Spanky. And I had adopted Spanky anyway. I got him from some model who got a micro pig but didn't want it. I found him on Craigslist.
Was the micro pig's name actually Houdini? Did you go back in time?
No, it was Spanky. And so then I had to rehome him. But I found farmers they called themselves farmers that lived in West Hollywood, and they had a small house in West Hollywood, and it was just this hippie couple, this older hippie couple, and they had turned their West Hollywood home into a farm. All the backyard was just poop and flies and gnats everywhere, and like little miniature donkeys and a giant tortoise. The giant versions of things and tiny versions of things. And Spanky was so happy. And I went to see him a couple of times after before it got a little weird. But it ended up great for Spanks.
That's good. Do we know if Spanky's still with us? I hope he is.
No, I couldn't go to their house too many times. And Spanky's a pig. I figured he was over it. You know, like after he was sad for a minute. And then next couple of times I saw him, he was just like, I don't sit in your lap anymore, loser. So I just didn't want to put myself through that awkward conversation anymore. Like, how's the farm? Your neighbors ever call the police on you? Your husband ever talk?
And let's be honest, every time you went over there, they probably tried to sell you some $30 jam.
Big jam.
So Julia is like very apprehensive because she does, you know, she's supposed to be reducing the number of animals on her little farm because apparently the hay costs are getting really high. Hey, girl, hey. So she's supposed to be reducing the number of animals, but now she's taking on a pig. So she's going to surprise Martina with a FaceTime. So she FaceTimes Martina and she's like,
so the other day I went to the petting zoo to visit goat. And before them, I sold some jam. And they said that they will sell jam. And it's maybe beginning a very big business venture which will pay for the hay. And eventually one day I hope jam pay for hay.
And Martina's like, okay. What are you up to when you're telling me how much money you're saving, which means that you're spending it somewhere else? So what's going on?
Yeah. And we see, surprise, it's a goat. And Martina's like, oh, cute, I like it. So Martina did not have a fit and kicked Julia out. I thought this was the end of Julia and Martina. I was like, yeah. It's all ending, the season finale. They're going to really upstage Kyle, and it's going to be an ending where Martina leaves and Julia ends up with a pig.
Yeah. So then we have, by the way, also, I just want to say, Beverly Hills, their big sports star is Anne-Marie's husband. This show literally is like, you know, you got Martina Navratilova, you got Michael Jordan. Miami is like really in its own league. That's wild. These are sports legends that are enmeshed in this show. It is amazing.
It really is. And you know, no one watches this show. Which is super weird. The ratings are so low. I mean, they're so low that people are like, are they canceling this show? Like, what do we think? Are they canceling it? And I just don't understand why. I don't understand how.
I think it's just really hard for people to... I think it's hard to get new viewers. I think people say, I watch... These are the housewives that I watch. And these are the, and it's, sometimes they just... They have a capacity to watch only two or three housewives shows. And that's it. And... Maybe just too many housewives on at once. Maybe
I think it's flooding the market.
Yeah, I think it needs to be like one at a time.
Yeah. This has been a bounty, you know, for us in a way, but it's also like having four housewives on at one time has been insane. It's too much. Yeah. Okay, so let's go back to this. So next up, everybody is going to this Havana party, right? Gertie is with... Nicole and Russell, and Alexi and Julie and Victoria, her daughter, are all going together. And Gertie is ready to take on Larsa. And she's like, I'm going to let her know that it's not cool behavior the way she did it with me, and I'm going to wear this hockey mask. And they're like, you don't need to do that. Okay, I'll leave the hockey mask in the car.
So before that, though, as everyone's getting into glam, there's actually a really, really moving scene, which is that Gertie has to shave her head.
That happened?
Did you see the scene where she cut off her
braids? Yes, but I didn't think that already had... Wait, hold on. What did I skip here?
We went
from
the
farm? Oh, my God. I skipped a lot. I went from the farm. I'm so sorry. I was looking at the worker outside.
And that was the show, everyone. So Martina approved of the pig, and then it kind of just wrapped up. I was like, it's kind of the most beautiful.
There's a hot guy in my backyard. I was sliding my fingers over the trackpad as I was looking outside to see to watch him pour cement.
You were like, so, you know, this and that and XYZ.
And the season ended with Ronnie marrying a guy from TaskRabbit.
So this scene was really very moving. There's nothing really funny to say about it. It's just that, like, Gertie has to cut her hair. And this is very, obviously, it's a big deal. Hair means a lot of things to a lot of people, especially people different cultures and backgrounds. They have a lot of attachments to it. And she is really struggling. And Russell's helping her with it. And it was just like a really beautiful moment. She was cutting her braids off. He was cutting her braids off. She's crying. She's sobbing. He's shaving the hair and she's like very concerned, like it's not bald, right? Like there's some shadow. And he's like, yes. And he's just really, he is so, I hope that there's never another shoe that drops with Russell. He's just awesome. And I just, you know, there've been so many times where there've been awesome husbands or just even cast members. And then you're like, oh no, they did something terrible. I don't want to Scandoval with Russell. He is really, the way he is there for her, the way he treats her, the way he supports her is just so beautiful.
Yeah, this was great. So she did the shaving the head scene for the camera, which was pretty cool.
Also, and very brave too, I think.
And she cried, you know, you see her crying and breaking down and stuff and then kind of being revealed
with her shaved head. It was really, really nice. Like, she comes out, yeah, and she sits for her first green screen confessional or whatever with her shaved head.
That moment was wonderful. I got choked up. And she sat, she sat there and she looked stunning. Absolutely stunning. And I know it's like, it's not us for up to say like, oh my God, don't worry, no hair. Like, you look great. Like, but she really looked, it was a really like strong, beautiful moment in every sense of all the, of both words.
Okay, so then we go over to the Cardozo Hotel where this party is getting started. Adriana's getting dressed, you know.
Now it's time for the biting fight.
that's the show, you know.
Go on.
So she's like, oh my God, you know, when the congas are playing, it's so powerful. You can't help but dance. I can't wait to show the world what I did with Emilio. But then she gets a call. This is also a very touching scene. I mean, I know we've just sat through one of the most touching scenes of the season, but then we get this one. Marisol calling Adriana to wish her good luck.
Even I was taken aback. I was like, wait, is Marisol calling Adriana? Aren't they supposed to hate each other?
And finally, this show made me cry. I finally felt something. So finally, this show was sincere.
Well, congratulations. I heard you're going to sing. I'm here waiting outside the Traitor's Castle. I feel like if I sit here long enough, they'll put me on the show. Number one show on cable. Anyway, take a video and make, I want to feel like I'm there instead of listening to all these bagpipes. Am I right? God, I'm an icon.
Just bagpipes, otherwise known as Steve. Am I right?
Squeezing me makes a noise.
Oh my God, Marisol is calling to congratulate me? Does she have the right number? She's like, well, I never imagined 4 months ago I'd be wishing luck to this whore, but I'm a forgiver. You know, that's me. Marisol the forgiver. I would like to remind everyone that I did not just storm out of a party a couple of weeks ago because Anna Quincones was there, as I was bad-mouthing Leah Black at the same time for shit that happened 10 years ago. All right, yeah. Well, I'm, you know, me, just basically Jesus over here.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I'm a forgiver, which is why on the previews for next week, I'll be yelling at Adriana again at the reunion. You know, she's a motherfucker, but deep down inside, I love her, even though she keeps poking the bear, just the way I keep poking the bagpipe. And Steve still won't put a ring on it.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So she's in Scotland for her renewal of the vows thing. And Adriana's like, don't forget to bring me hot Scottish guy. And then now it's the part where I was telling you that everybody was driving to the party. So sorry, everybody. So Julia's like,
well, Larsa doesn't have boats to own it. And I asked if Michael Jordan is okay with her. And she said, yes.
And Alexia's like, oh, you were just saying, does he approve this message? Does he approve it or no?
But when what we read in press, he said no. And that was not like, no, no, no. It was like, no. But by the way, I want to get Michael Jordan on my farm because everyone says he is goat.
Not only did Michael Jordan say no, he said it while he made Fatic. Isn't this gross?
Did it smell?
By the way, something that people have been curious about, including me, I'm not going to lie, including me, I noticed it as well. It's been on Twitter, it's been on Facebook, it's been on Instagram. People are curious about it. I feel like no one wants, I think people are trying to be a little delicate about it. But what was the big ass bruise on Alexia's jaw? Did you see that?
That was crazy. Yeah, it was huge. It was a really big bruise. And it was on both sides, right? I keep seeing people on the internet saying it wasn't on both sides. I thought it was. Yeah, maybe I was mistaken there. Yeah, that was a big bruise. I'm assuming that it was something Botox or filler or something like that related.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe dental. I mean, I don't know.
But everyone's kind of like, oh, please tell us that was benign. So now the women are arriving at the hotel. And
yeah, I mean, of course. Yeah, you hope it was nothing. But I mean, what are you going to do? You can't really speculate on it. I mean,
exactly. That's why everyone's like, well, we're all being delicate, but we all see something. Can you please explain? We just want an explanation, please. Make sure everything's okay.
Yeah, I'm surprised she didn't come out with a tweet or something. Maybe she did later today because I'm sure people are bugging her about it.
I'm sure she'll probably have something to say. So women arrive And Gertie is like, this is like the epitome of what Miami is. Lights and glamour and culture. And she walks in. She goes, thank you so much. Welcome. Welcome. Wait, did I just say welcome? Oh, I'm in jump mode. So then Kiki saunters in looking, you know, drop dead. This is the only show where I'm actually kind of down for the moments of like walking into a foyer or walking, you know, and like showing off your look, because they all kind of look amazing and they're always wearing these big brash looks. So Kiki walks in and she's like, hello, why is no one dancing? Where's the music? Jesus Christ, who wants a dildo?
Also, this party's so badass, this Havana party.
I know,
like all
right?
The horns and the conga lights, players everywhere. And food. Miami's so colorful.
Such a good show.
Every one of my favorite games was Grand Theft Auto Vice City, which took place in best. Miami. And so this all looks like that, you know? I was like, I think I've seen this hotel on Grand Theft Auto, because it's like right on the street where the beach is, whatever you call that. The
Miami Beach, South Beach. You know, Ronnie, you know what's coming out this year, right?
Grand Theft Auto 6.
Which takes place in Vice City. They're going back to Miami. It's another Miami one.
Oh, I didn't know that. It doesn't come out this year. It comes out in 2026, I think. Oh,
God damn it.
Yeah, it comes out. I don't know why they even are talking about it now, but I think it comes
out. It's all right. I still haven't finished Zelda.
A long time away.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do. Finish Zelda. Finish Dune.
You'll be on Chapter 3 of Dune when that thing comes out.
I got to hurry up with Dune. There's another Dune coming out. First Dune, no harm.
Nicole's wearing that red ruffle dress that everyone's been wearing this week. We've seen everybody in this dress. Kenya was in this dress. Some other housewife
Kenya was
just
on
in
TV
this dress.
Dress?
Yeah, at some awards.
Oh, like
the People's Choice or the.
Yeah, I'm so mad about the People's Choice Awards.
Why?
Because they're the day after the crappies, which meant that so many people were in town Kiki Barth was here, I think. I think everyone was here. We could have invited to the crappies. We didn't even think about it.
Okay, so, you know, arrivals at the party, blah, blah, blah. So then all the ladies start to gather, and we see that Anna is here at this party. And Alexia sees her, and she's like, oh, I don't know what she's doing here, but tonight I'm staying because I look too good to run. Plus, Marisol's gone, so I don't have to.
That's a loyal friend.
I know. And we see that Anna is here. And I think, oh, my God, Anna has a second chance at the show. They're giving her another chance. Surely she's not going to fuck this one up.
And then we never see her again.
And then
she like flashes by in the background. Yeah. And Anna's like, well, no one's walking out when I got here. So that's a good sign. And scene for Anna. So Larsa is like, are Anthony and Todd here? And Alexia's like, well, no one brings their husband, so I'm not going to bring mine. Crazy, crazy people.
So Lars is like, well, Marcus would be here, but like, I feel like he's not in town. Like, Julia wants to know stuff. She keeps asking me, but like, I answer her questions. Like, I answer everything she's asking me. Why is she asking me so much stuff? And Julia's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I overhear. I just want you to share things with us, Larsa. I care so much about you. What does she think of pig? What does she think of goat? Does she like Houdini? How much should jam cost? You know?
Are you opposed to Jam of the Month Club? Only $3,000 a year.
So Lars is like, I feel like I share a lot. And everyone's like, huh?
I mean, more of the story is, if you guys want to like call Marcus, he can talk about his dad's relationship.
And Julia's like,
but were you aware of his feelings? Well, like, he supports his son, like, he wants his son to be happy. Marcus is like an adult, like, I'm like an adult, like, although I have a baby face, like, do you need permission from your mom, like? Do you need to call your mom, like, that you need to date a guy, like, or a girl, like? Do you need permission, like?
She is being defensive because sometimes we get defensive when we have something to hide.
No, I don't have pig under my seat. Why are you asking me? Stop looking at me.
If Marcus's dad like said like don't date her, like we wouldn't be together, like we would not be together, like they're very close, like, and I would never want to be part of a relationship like that's like the problem because of me, like XYZ and this and that.
Then we see Nicole's dad coming in wasted, and Nicole's like, oh my God, he's wasted. Oh, Isis, I'm sorry you have to deal with this. She's like, welcome to my life, honey. Lord help me.
Who wants skincare? Skincare by ISIS, everyone.
Skincare by ISIS, everyone. Line up next to the giant boner over here.
So then Adriana is getting on her weird outfit and practicing her dance moves. And Emilio comes to her room and he's like, oh, here we are in Miami. I'm going to play some congas for your song. It's like, oh my God, Emilio's going to play some congas for my song. I can't believe it.
So on the one hand, your song has no hook. But on the other hand, I'm on congas. So then, or congas, I should say, not Congo. So Larsa's like, everyone says I want to like make more time and everything like, but like everyone says I want to work on relationships with like X, Y, and Z. I was like, I love that she said X, Y, and Z on the finale.
She really does. She says the same things over and over, just like we say. I feel like an X, Y, Z. I cannot. Whenever she says either one of those things, I start cracking up.
Anyway, everyone says I want to work on my relationships with X, Y, and Z. Don't just say it. Do it, like. I feel like I've made an effort to reach out to you, like, Nicole, like. And, like, do you feel like we've gotten closer, like, because of that, like?
And Nicole's like, yeah, actually, I was, like, actually, like, very happy because I feel like for the first time this year, we actually had, like, conversations. And, like, we talked one day for 45 minutes. Well, mainly you just said the word like and Marcus many times in a row. But it was nice that you were reaching out to me about that.
Yeah. And Alexi's like, oh, well, you know what? I'm so glad then that I brought everyone together. She's taking credit
yeah, for it. Yeah, she literally goes, you're welcome. You're welcome. I'm really happy I brought everyone together. And she smiles so, like, I did that. I did yeah, that. I fixed did everything.
I did it. Yeah. So Gertie's like, well, Mexico was very important, even though I was in bed half the time, but we bonded, right? Everybody remember? More specifically, Larsa, me and you bonded. Do you remember, Larsa? She's like,
yeah, like, but like, wait. What are you getting at?
She's like, well, I thought we bonded, and I thought we were past the article. You said we were past the article. She goes,
but why did you say, like, what? I feel like you just said, like, you thought. Why did you just think about it?
Yeah. Because on day one of our trip, you asked me for a favor to, like, not put your name in the press, and I wanted the same courtesy, and I felt like you finally understood. And then, lo and behold, this past day, a couple of days ago, you know what you did? And Larsa already knows. She goes, Did I say your name? So Larsa, by the way, the guilty conscience, like already knows that she's wrong. Of course. So she's already got her counter argument ready to go.
Right. She goes, oh, well, that doesn't count just because you didn't say my name. Okay. You said fake tears again. You're playing dumb. And she goes,
you're dumb. You are. You're dumb. I feel like I can't win with you. You bit me. And you know what? You're mad at me. You bit me and you're mad at me. I'm good. You're dumb.
Yeah. This is when Larsa goes from,
Hi, I'm Larsa Pippen, everyone. Dad, welcome to my podcast.
You're dumb, Gertie. You're a dumb person.
Like her voice changes.
Oh, come on, Gertie.
Her real voice comes out.
She just repeats what the other person said. So Gertie's like, you're not sorry. You should be, but you're not. And Nicole's like, oh my God, this girl can't just learn her lesson. And she's like, you know what, Gertie? I like feel like bad for you. Like go take care of your health. I was like, whoa, okay, now you're going to throw that at somebody? She's such an asshole.
She's such an asshole, and she gets worse. So Gertie's like, oh, yeah, you talked about me at the press, sweetheart. You talked about me at the press.
So I feel bad for you. Like, I'm sorry. I thought it was funny.
I love how Larsa vacillates between, like, oh, I mentioned it because it was funny. My arm hurt. My arm really hurt when you bit me, but I thought it was funny. But my arm hurt.
Yeah, and Gertie's saying, well, you said you didn't know if it was a love bite or a hate bite. Who says that? I mean, what a bitch.
You're a bitch. You're a bitch.
Hate bite. No, you're a bitch.
I didn't say hate bite. I didn't say hate bite.
Stop clickbaiting on my name, bitch.
She goes, I never said your name. You're a bitch.
And Kiki's like, I don't know what this fight even is. Who bite who? Are we vampires? Like, what?
So Larsa keeps saying, I never said hate bite. Well, then why was it even brought up? Because my arm was hurting when I got back. My arm hurts so much. From that bite, it was like a hurting. My arm was hurting. A hurting arm.
It hurt like
X, Y, Z, this and that.
It's like, who even are you right now? Will the real Larsa please stand up? Will she stand up? Because there's like lots of Larsas right now. I can't even tell who it is.
It's like, who are you though? But who are you? Well, who are you,
one,
though?
Okay, well, one minute you're like, hey, guys, you're so sweet. And the next minute you're like, from Chicago, so which one are you? But the real answer, please stand up. So,
and then Larsa says,
I mean, what else can I say to this poor woman? Like, I'm sick, too. I'm, like, sick over it.
I'm the victim here, too.
Wow.
I'm sick.
What a vapid doorstopper of a human being.
know.
Jesus Christ.
So Larsa then goes up to Lisa and goes, "You have no idea what happened. Like, Gertie's going crazy and she's yelling and like doing the most over-the-top things about the bite. Yeah, I mean, you don't think it takes a toll on me? Like, every time I see her, she's like yelling at me. Like, that's not easy. I'm like sick from her yelling at me."
Oh my God. And so Larsa... So then Lisa goes over and she goes, "Gertie, come on. It was like a joke." She goes, no, it's not a joke. Okay. What was it, a joke? Was it a joke on my diamond, on my time?
I like that.
How is it your dime? You were never mentioned.
Listen, I'm just giving my opinion on the situation, guys.
Well, you know what? I'm not doing with this with you, okay? Like, you're about to defend her and her good intention, and it was a joke, and I should take it lightly, right? Okay, I'm not going to go through this, Lisa, and you know that. You know that, Lisa. I'm not going to do this, Lisa.
And she's like, "You are disgusting. You are disgusting, Lisa." And she goes, "You're disgusting. You're disgusting like your face."
Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth. So then Gertie is like, "Okay, but tomorrow I get my blood tested for chemo." And she's like,
"Well, I'm sorry. Like, what?
It's not my fault." Julia's like, "Larsa, wait. It's not my fault, Julia. I'm not the chemo."
Larsa is beyond stupid. It is hard. And I know that this is like so serious. We shouldn't even be laughing, but this show is so ridiculous that Larsa is literally yelling at a woman with cancer talking about chemo, going, "You're ugly like your face."
Like, all Larsa had to say was like, "Oh, I was just like bringing up the fact that like you bit me and it was like a joke and they made it seem like something, but I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have brought up." Like, that's all she has to do. But instead she's like, no.
Why are you ugly then?
"No, I'm sick. I'm sick. I'm just as sick." So Kiki's like, why are you screaming, Julia?
"Listen. Okay, it's all about timing. And the fact is that no one here would do what she is doing."
What did I even do? I'm not even doing anything. It's stupid.
Oh my God. So then she pulls off her wig and she goes, "This is what I'm dealing with today." And she's showing her shaved head. Okay. And this is like, "Oh my God, but I'm sorry." And like, it still doesn't even faze her. Yeah. And then she's like, "Why can't you just be a friend? You need to be a friend." And she goes, "You know what? You're wrong. And so I'm going to like leave now. Like, I'm going to leave. Because you're wrong."
Yeah. She goes, "You're wrong. And I'm never going to talk to you again because you're wrong."
It's like unbelievable. So Russ comes over and he's pissed, you know, obviously. And he's like, "Why are you even dealing with this? Why are you dealing with this, Gertie?" And he's like, "Larsa, please be respectful.
Russell,
please,
take your
Larsa.
Wife. Russell, take your wife." And he's like,
"Be respectful, Larsa, please."
"I am being respectful. It was a joke. It was a joke, Russell. It's not like that, this and that."
And she's like, "I love you, Russell. I'm sorry, baby." So she goes out and Lisa's chasing her going, "Come on, it was a joke." You know, fucking Lisa, like going out there trying to justify everything.
Gertie. And Gertie does not want any. The last person she wants to deal with is Lisa Hochstein.
All right. And so she's like, "Just leave me alone, Lisa. Leave me alone." She's like, "I'm not your enemy, I'm not your enemy."
So now Nicole, she's like, I can't tell Nicole, then Nicole can tell me, but I cannot with you right now. So Nicole's there, and Nicole's like, "Okay, you know what, give her a moment, you know, this is how she processes," and Kiki now has run up, she's like, "Oh my God, I twisted my ankle trying to follow you, come on, what's going on?"
Yeah, and so basically Gertie's just like, "Leave me alone," and Nicole's like, these girls don't understand. You like need to give Gertie space. Like, when she's mad, just let her like have a moment, you know? And so basically they keep her away. And then it's true, because Gertie's like, "Okay, I'm ready now. Yeah. Come on."
And Russell's pissed, by the way. Russell's really pissed. And he, because he was, you know.
Well, he should be. These people are crazy. I mean, this is just going over the line. Like, the lady just pulled off her hair.
And yeah, and he's like,
"So what? Who cares? You're ugly though, so like."
And he it was funny. It was interesting because he was just sort of standing there watching over, letting Gertie do her thing, letting her have her scene and everything. But then when he could see it was going too far, he was like, "Okay, I'm stepping in and I'm protecting my wife." And right. It was also interesting because Gertie was like, "Shut up, Larsa, shut up." He's like, "Gertie, oh yeah, no, everything's fine. Everything's fine, Russell, everything's fine." You know, she was like, "Oh shit, like, you could see there was like a moment of like, I'm doing my scene. Oh shit, this scene may have gone too far. Let me get myself together right now."
So then Lisa and Lars are having a talk over on the side, and they're waving the little flags that are on the table. And Lisa's like, America! Wait, are these flags for America? Lars is like, I think it's like Havana, like.
That's Cuba. So she's blind.
So, morons.
So, and Alexia is trying to explain to Larsa. She's like, by the way, just calm down. Like, she's starting chemo tomorrow. And Alexia says, look, with what Gertie's going through, you just say, okay, Gertie, whatever you say, I'm sorry. But that's just me. That's how I would deal with it. So anyway, Lisa is like, listen, Larsa, I have your back. And I'll always tell you when you're wrong. And you'll always tell me when I'm wrong. And I love that about us.
Yeah, like last year, you were there for me when I was like signing my divorce papers, like. And then I was there for you when you were signing your divorce papers.
Yeah, and they're not even signed yet. And you know, and then she says, this was eventually going to happen. And I'm thinking she's going to say, Larsa and Gertie were going to have to get everything out there. But she goes, Lenny and I were eventually going to get a divorce. It's like, wow, you turned this fight into you and Lenny again.
Yeah, that's how she rolls, you know. And she's like, but now I got Jody. He's helping me now. It's so sad. It's like, wow, I went from one rich man, but now I've got another rich man to pay for stuff. And it's all great now. It all worked out.
And that got to happen now.
Sad, there's such a sad edge to her storyline, man. It's like, wow.
I know. And she goes, thank God it happened now while I still got it rather than 10 or 20 years from now. God knows what I'd be getting. I don't think I'd be getting a Jody. I mean, look at Marisol and Steve, okay? But it's like, damn, like, it's so sad how little she values her personality, right? Like, she's like, well, in 10 or 20 years, I would look like shit. So I would probably wind up with, you know, some, you know, person who lives in the gutter. It's like, you know, people go for personality too.
Know your worth. Know your worth, guys. Okay. So then Adriana is getting ready for her big number. And Kiki is dancing with Nicole's dad. And this is where he gets the big boner. And they're like, oh my God, he's got a boner. And it's big.
Bravo did a close-up on this guy's boner. They're like, just in case you didn't see.
A long, lingering boner. And then they're like, Dad, you've got a boner. He's like, yeah. He's all proud of his boner.
God bless. R.I.P. So now Adriana's like, now it's time for her song. So she starts singing her song. The song is basically just like music that they would play between scenes on this show. Like, it's just Trixie Mattel. Yes.
And I think they actually did at one point. I think I've heard this song before.
Yeah. The lyrics didn't really make sense. So first, the first lyric was, suffering from this heat and from this friction, mamacita ain't got nothing on these positions. It's like, okay, so it's sort of like sexual. And then, and by the way, be sure, I see that you're staring at your handyman, and I think it's good, because you should, while you stare at him, think of these lyrics.
Okay.
I'm your boss bitch now, we got six rows, from the east to the west, fast and slow, two-way street, meet me in the middle of the road, till I feel it up my body, run hot to cold. What? I'm your boss bitch now, which by the way should never be a lyric. We got six rows, so is that like at a game, airplane, from the east to the west, so it's all across the country, you're a boss bitch, fast and slow, so intermittent traffic. Two-way street, meet me in the middle of the road. Okay, so we are, I don't know if I want to stand in the middle of the road of a two-way street. Sounds a little busy, especially for going fast and slow.
Although, if you're singing this song, I wouldn't mind if you were standing in the middle of the street.
Till I feel it up my body, run hot to cold. Wait, so all this was actually sexual? What?
I guess. Yeah, this is bizarre. But your first assessment was right, that there's no hook to this song. It's just like, la 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 la, conga conga conga, the end.
Yeah, you know what? We love Faya, and we love Miami. If the original song is so good, it's actually the theme song to the show, which also is a first. The song, I think it's a dud.
Yeah, I can see why Kavia Cabello was like, Kavia, Camilla, Cabello. No. No.
She needs to. Adriana doesn't need to work with Emilio, because Emilio is not hungry. He's just going to give the trash to her. She needs to work with someone who's up and coming, who actually wants to make a good song.
Well, is Emilio cheating on Gloria? What's going on here? my question.
No, I don't think he would ever cheat on someone who has the rhythm working to get you. Like, if he cheats, like, he can't get away with it.
He's going to be clobbered by a quarter note. He doesn't want to go down that way.
The rhythm will get him if he cheats on Gloria. She already
Emilio
said it.
Found murdered by a steel drum.
She warned him many years ago. We know how the story ends.
Emilio taken down to the street by a troop of shuffle off to Buffalo tap dancers. Wow, the rhythm really did get him.
I hear that when the rhythm corners you, you have 4 seconds to proclaim your love. 1, 2, 3, 4. Come on, baby, say you love me.
Oh. Okay, so.
And you have to do it on your feet, by the way.
7 times.
You can't be sitting down. You have to do it on your feet. You have to stand up. You have to get on your feet.
Okay, so now we start getting the 20 minutes of ending things. There's a toast, and then we get the typical, like, oh, these ladies, like, of sure, we get sassy, but we love each other at the end of the day, right, guys?
Until the reunion in next week.
Yeah.
So Kiki's update is that she's spending time with a new man in Los Angeles. So that's exciting. Adriana is continuing to work with Emilio, and her new single drops early this year with hopes of adding to Emilio's Grammy total. And then we go to Marisol for her Scottish wedding vows. So this, we see some footage. First of all, it looks like it's professionally shot. There's a lot of people there. I actually love her dress that she's wearing. Not that that matters. But then I have a theory. This is my theory, Ronnie. This is not an important theory, but it is a theory that I feel like I have to share.
My favorite kind, unimportant theories.
My theory is that the cash trip was probably originally to go to Scotland for this renewal. But then with Gertie's diagnosis, they had to accelerate the timetable. And they probably couldn't accelerate the wedding vows because their guests were coming and they booked a castle. So they did Mexico first instead. That is my theory.
Oh, well, I'm glad they didn't give it to Marisol because it's not even a real wedding. Again, it's a fake wedding. They put up there that she's still not officially married. What the hell?
How do you renew your vows?
How many times? It's like just begging for presents, making people do, having all these events, just making people send you shit. No, you're not even going through the pain of really being married, you know?
That is 100% correct. So they have that. Then we see Nicole, and she's talking with her mom. It's like the next day or so. So her hormones are finally leveled out, and she's really hoping that she's going to have a kid. And then we see like her and Anthony making their baby announcement with sitting on a vintage car holding fake newspapers, which is like, I mean, whatever happened to a text message? Am I right?
Well, he has to find a way to work his real baby in there, the car.
I know.
So, yeah, they're pregnant, and she's like, oh, my God, like, if we did any more interviews, I would have had to get a new dress because this one won't close anymore. So we see the back of her dress. That's really cute. You know, I'm happy for her. I'm worried for her. You marry Anthony first with no prenup before you start having those little hairy babies.
And there actually was a nice little thing, which was it said that although her father passed away unexpectedly in November, she was able to tell him that she was pregnant, which was actually touching. It actually made me really happy that Nicole did mend things with her father before he died, because that was like a multi-season arc, and it would have been
a super nice story that they ended up mending it, and that she just learned to accept him for who he was, you know.
Yeah.
And at the end was like, okay, he's drunk, let's have fun anyway, you know.
It was actually a really great life lesson, because it truly showed that, like, you don't know how much time you have. So Mark, speaking of timeless things, Marcus and Larsa. So Marcus gives Larsa a ring and he's like, hey, I love you and I hope you like it. Oh my God, Marcus, this is like a wedding band. Like, yeah, it's one of my dad's championship rings. Oh my God, like, that's awesome. Like, I have one too. Actually, it's kind of funny. Like,
And he's like, it's just a promise ring, but don't you worry. And then we see Julia and Martina at an art gallery, and Romero Brito has made a painting of Julia naked on the couch, sitting on a goat, which is sitting on a pig. And they hope to have a child soon.
Yeah, they're going to adopt. They're going back down to the adoption process. And then we have a cute scene of Alexia with Frankie taking an Uber on his own for the first time. Although there was a cameraman in there, but like we'll just pretend we didn't notice that. But Frankie takes his first Uber ride, and that's also really sweet. And Alexia like welcomes him out of the Uber, and she's so happy and excited, and that was nice. And then it's basically like, oh yeah, even though there were rumors that she and Todd are running out of money, they just bought a Ferrari and took a luxury vacation to Italy, which to me says they still could be running out of money.
Yeah.
Especially now.
And that's why they're running out of money. The trip was sponsored by Ferrari and Italy. So then Lisa moved into a condo, and I hear rumor on the street is that Jody pays for half and Lenny pays for half. Do you think that could be true?
I don't know, but I love that sitcom. So then
who gets the Hochstein?
So then Gertie, we find out, we see Gertie's whole journey really quick. We see Gertie went into chemo treatment, and then it says 127 days later, and then we see her ringing that chemo bell. And I got to meet her at BravoCon. She was so nice. She's so beautiful. Mm. And she had just found out that week or something that she was officially right. done. So she could like have a drink, and she was so beautiful. She still had the shaved head, and she was saying, maybe I'm going to keep it now. I just love it now. I just love it now. And what a presence.
Yeah. The update said Gertie is officially cancer free. What else matters? And that is true. And it ends with her saying, honestly, I just gertified cancer. And she really did. So what an amazing season. I mean, I think in some ways the season got overshadowed by Salt Lake City having like a bad, like Salt Lake City season was obviously in its own league. And then Beverly Hills had stuff going on and Vanderpump Rules, but Miami, like they just kill it so good. Can't wait for the reunion next week. That's going to be a total clusterfuck in the best way.
Yes. Great season. Love you, Miami. Good luck.
Love you, Miami.
We'll be here. We'll be here watching the reunions and everything.
We'll be there. So everyone, thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to get your tickets for any of the shows. WatchWhatCrapins.com. And guess what? Summer House is back. And we got a recap of the first episode coming your way. So thanks everyone for listening. And we will catch you on the next episode. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas,
she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch, it's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.